Swami Niti Namane Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pacharani Nirvasesa Sinivani Paskutya Desatarani Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavam Cha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Stam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadvadutam Parijana Sahita Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitam Cha Manjikalpa Chubhascha Kipasindhavyeva Chapatitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavyeva Namo Namah. So today is October 7th, 2021, from the VIHE, reading from Nectar Devotion, Chapter 33. The secondary Staibhavas, or the indirect continuous ecstasies. All for joining us on time. Okay, so this is the Bhakti Ras Amrita Sindhu, the nectar mellow of the ocean of devotion. This is the southern ocean covering Bivava, Anubhava, Sattvika Bhava, Vyavichari Bhava, and Stai Bhava. So we're now in the fifth wave about Stai Bhava, and this is part two of three today that we are doing. Chapter 33. So just a little bit of a review, that there are two types of Stai Bhavas. There's two types of the Prabhupada calls continuous ecstasy, the mukhya or the primary direct, and the gona, or also called the secondary indirect. So it can be called primary direct or secondary indirect. And these are the direct by the neutrality, servitorship, friendship, parental, conjugal, and the indirect or the secondary, which we'll be discussing today, are humor, chivalry, wonder, anger, fear, disgust, and compassion or lamentation. So this chapter, 33, it's about the seven secondary or indirect basic connections or Stai Bhavas. The previous chapter, what we did last week, was about the five primary. And this fifth wave of the Southern Ocean is a summary of the topic. Rupa Goswami covers this topic in depth in the Northern Ocean, which is the last section of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So today we're covering chapter 23, which is 2539 to 72. Originally I thought it was through 80, but it's not. It's only through 72. And I really apologize for the mix-up with the correlation of the verses. So I was, when I put together the syllabus, I was looking at somebody else's correlation, and they had mistakes. And I didn't realize while I was going through things what the actual correlation was. So for the next time I teach this, I'll fix the syllabus. We'll start with 73 until the end of the section will be for next week. So my apologies for that. Okay. So, a summary of this chapter, that in a direct relationship, this is actually taken from the end of chapter 32. Prabhupada says, in a direct relationship, there is laughter, astonishment, chivalry, lamentation, anger, and dread, and ghastliness. So when you have a direct relationship, you have a direct Stai Bhava, you also have these secondary Stai Bhavas. These expressions are considered to be great reservoirs of pleasure. When these seven kinds of ecstatic loving exchanges are manifested, they attain the status of steadiness by which the taste of love expands. So they become a Stai Bhava and they expand the direct Stai Bhava. So, definition, what is a secondary Stai Bhava? So, this is arising of seven varieties of emotional states that act similar to Rati. Again, Rupa Goswami uses Rati as a synonym for Stai Bhava. And like the primary basic relationships, they're stimulated by Vibhava, Alambana, Vishaya. And then the primary Mukhya Rati, the primary basic relationship, subdues itself, so the secondary one takes over. And the secondary, or indirect, or goni rati, or staibhav, many different terms for the same thing. They're similar to rati. They're dependent on the... And you should take notes, because I'm going to ask you to write about this. All right? Please take notes on this. You're going to be writing about this, and then you're going to have a breakout group about this, and then you're going to give a presentation about this. So please take notes. Please don't be doing your exercises in the background or something. So the secondary or indirect or goni rati or staibhavs or basic relationships, they're similar to the to rati. They're similar to a basic a primary basic relationship. They're dependent on the existence of a primary relationship that subdues itself. So these again are the list. And there's different names in this particular section. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami calls them Hasya, Vishmaya, Utsaha, which means like a festival or enthusiasm, Shoka, Krodha, Bhaya, and Jugupsa. So Hasya means laughter or humor. Then Vishmaya means astonishment or wonder. Utsaha means chivalry. Shoka means lamentation and or compassion. Krodha means anger. Vaya means dread or fear. Jugupsa means ghastliness or disgust or horror. So Krishna is the direct cause of six of these. He's not the direct cause of disgust or ghastliness or horror. In other words, one never feels disgusted at Krishna. One feels disgusted at the things that are obstacles to Krishna. All right. When are these called rati? When can we call these seven emotions ratis? So please listen very carefully. So we're going to, again, this is a review slide. So we remember the primary, this is and you remember when I taught this last time, I said this would be important for this class. So the primary staibhavs, the primary ratis, that is neutrality, servitorship, friendship, parental, conjugal, they can have two roles. In one, they can nourish themselves. So they can take from the vibhava, the anubhava, the sattvika bhava, the vyavichari bhava, and they nourish themselves. In the other, they can be nourishing. So the staibhav, the primary, the basic staibhav, again, that's neutrality, servitorship, friendship, parental, conjugal, can become nourishing the other bhavas. They can go in either direction. Okay? So the secondary ratis, on the other hand, can never be nourishing themselves. That they can't do that. So in order for one of these seven secondary staibhavs to become the staibhav, the primary staibhav has to do two things. One, it has to go from selfish to selfless. It has to go to nourishing. Okay, and the secondary staibhav is never going to become selfless, but it becomes prominent. And the second thing that the primary staibhav has to do is it has to go to the background. It has to go to the background. So let's think of this again, because this is all from Bharat Muni. So all of these descriptions apply also to any relationships that we have. So let's say you're with a good friend and you're going on a hike to the top of a mountain. So as you're going on a hike with your friend, you're mostly feeling friendship with your friend. So the main feeling you're feeling is friendship. And there's also different emotions you're feeling as you're going through the hike. So you get to the top of the mountain, and you and your friend look out over this incredible view. your friendship becomes subdued and a sense of wonder takes over. So you start sharing a sense of wonder with your friend. You and your friend are going, wow, look at that, look at that, look at that. So what becomes your basic relationship becomes wonder. Now, what to speak of, let's say you're watching your friend do something incredible. Your friend has some amazing talent. They're a great saxophone player, or they're an acrobat or something. They have some amazing ability. And you're there in, as a participant in the audience, and your friend comes on stage, and at first you're feeling just, wow, that's my friend. I have such a wonderful friend. I really love my friend. And then your friend takes out his saxophone or starts doing acrobatics or whatever, and you're filled, wonder fills you. So your sense of friendship retreats. It goes in the background, and your sense of friendship starts nourishing that wonder. So your basic relationship with your friend becomes one of wonder. Right? Or, you know, you're with your husband, your wife, and you're telling jokes. And so at first you're hanging out with your husband or your wife, your spouse, and you're just feeling love for your spouse. And you're feeling that sense of, oh, I love my spouse. I just, wow. And you're feeling that particular flavor of romantic love with your spouse. And then you start talking about something funny. And you start laughing together. And your main relationship, your main romantic relationship, nourishes that laughter and recedes. So that the main thing you're sharing is laughter. So that's the process by which a secondary sthaibhav, one of these becomes a secondary sthaibhav. One of these seven emotions becomes the sthaibhav for a while. Okay, so here's an example that Rupa Goswami gives. That, for example, when hasya, which is laughter or humor, predominates over a primary rati, such as friendship or parental, the primary rati nourishes that emotion of laughter. And then laughter can become the rati or the basic relationship. Or like yesterday, I was having dinner at my granddaughter's house. I usually eat dinner over there. And her husband's brother is visiting. Her husband's brother's visiting. So it's his younger brother, I think by 7 or 10 years. And so his relationship with his younger brother is primarily a parental type of relationship. So that's the main relationship he has with his younger brother. It's a friendship mixed with parental. I'd say parental is the dominating one. All right, but they started joking. And then they started mock fighting. And it got physically fighting. The meal had just ended. Actually, I think my grandson-in-law still had some prasadam to eat. But the meal had ended. And they started actually physically mock fighting. So that fighting, that chivalry, dominated the parental. You know, the younger brother was as much trying to defeat his older brother as anything else. So this mood of chivalry predominated. So their friendship and parental, it nourished the chivalry and it retreated. So that the chivalry, their basic relationship at that time, became chivalry. Okay, so when these seven emotions exist as basic relationships, they take on a form of beauty. They form by the influence of a primary rati. They exist in a particular devotee. They exist in a particular pastime, and they remain for some time. Now, I know there's going to be questions about what's the difference between these and vyavichari bhavs, and we'll be discussing that later. In discussing that in a moment. So I know that that's also a question. Hmm? What else? Okay. So it is only the primary Staibhavs that remain always in a particular devotee. The secondary Staibhavs, they last for a short time, but they leave a lasting impression. So there's something there that always stays. So the primary Staibhava, it's always there. If one has a feeling that Krishna is my master, that feeling is always there. And the secondary Staibhavs, they come for a time and then they go, but their impressions remain part of the person's basic relationship. And the secondary Staibhavs cannot function without the primary Staibhavs. So the primary can function without the secondary, but the secondary cannot function without the primary. Now the secondary are called Staibhavs because they take on Rati as their own nature by identifying themselves as Rati. So laughing with Krishna, wonder at Krishna, fear about Krishna, anger at Krishna or anger at Krishna's enemies, compassion for Krishna, lamentation at Krishna's separation, disgust at what's keeping us separate from Krishna. Those act as if they were the basic relationship. So in one sense, they're not a Rati. And the example is like you can say, he's a tiger-like man. Wow, that man's like a tiger. So he's not really a tiger, but he's like a tiger. So these secondary Ratis are like Rati. They become like Rati. Now again, the primary Rati limits itself and becomes a nourisher. And then the secondary Rati spreads and becomes the Rati. The secondary Rati spreads and becomes the Rati. Now, something to note, and this was something we noted with the Sattvika Bhavs and the Anubhavs and the Vyavichari Bhavs, especially the Sattvika Bhavs and the Vyavichari Bhavs. So the Lord's enemies may experience these seven secondary emotions in relationship with Krishna. So here's our demon, Denuka. So he probably experienced some fear in relationship to Lord Balaram. But because they don't have any primary Rati, these seven secondary emotions, they cannot produce Bhakti Rasa. They don't even produce a semblance. They don't even produce an abhas. Because they don't have a basic relationship with Krishna. Okay? So looking at the secondary Staibhavs and Vyavicharibhavs, we got a number of questions about this. So Bharat Muni, on whose work the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is based, he created these different categories. So he created this category of 33 Vyavicharibhavs and the seven secondary Staibhavs as two different kinds of bhava in art and in relationship. Now, Jiva Goswami's opinion is that Rupa Goswami doesn't agree with Bharat Muni. So Jiva Goswami's opinion is that Rupa Goswami actually thinks that these seven secondary Staibhavs are actually Vyavicharibhavs. But out of respect for Bharat Muni, he's presenting them as seven secondary Staibhavs. I mean, he really does. It's not like he just says, well, Bharat Muni says this, but I'm going to present my own understanding. He presents Bharat Muni's understanding to the point that he has an entire ocean, entire section of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the last section, the northern section, dedicated simply to the seven secondary Staibhavs, which he does not do for the 33 Vyavicharibhavs. The 33 Vyavicharibhavs are a wave within the southern ocean, whereas the secondary Staibhavs are part of a wave in the southern ocean, and then they have their own ocean. So although According to Jiva Goswami, Rupa Goswami has a differing opinion with Bharat Muni. He completely presents within Bhakti Rasa these seven secondary Sai Bhavas as Sai Bhavas. So these seven secondary emotions, they're nourished by the Vibhavas, Anubhavas, Satvika Bhavas, and Varichabhas, and they take up the status of Sai Bhava in the devotees, and they produce a taste. Now, of course, we know with the Vyavichari Bhavas, we remember that Vyavichari Bhavas nourish other Vyavichari Bhavas. Right? From one emotion can come another emotion, and from one emotion can... But the Vyavichari Bhavas can be causes and effects of each other. So we have two different kinds of relationships between the Vyavichari Bhavas. One is that an emotion is nested within, like a person's very afraid, and from that fear comes anger, or they're feeling shame, and from the shame comes anger, or they're feeling shame, and from the shame comes fear. Or they're feeling excitement, and from the excitement comes laughter, or from fear comes laughter. So they can be nested, or they can be a cause and effect. So that's also true with the Vyavichari Bhavas. All right, so from the Vibhavas, Anubhavas, Sattvika Bhavas and Vyavichari Bhavas, they all nourish the secondary Sthayi Bhavas. When that happens, you see something with Krishna, you meditate on something with Krishna, Krishna's devotees, meditate on some Udipana, you're doing some action. So let's say you're a Pujari, you're meditating on Krishna's flute, Krishna's crown, those are Udipanas, and you start arranging them on the deity, and then your hairs stand on end, you're feeling happy, right? And that can give you a sense of wonder. And then if you have a primary Sthayi Bhava, let's say you have a primary Sthayi Bhava of parental towards Krishna, you think of Krishna as your son, that feeling of parental nourishes this sense of wonder. The parental retreats to the background. The sense of wonder becomes prominent. It takes the status of your primary Sthayi Bhava and it produces a sense of taste. Now again, the difference between the secondary Sthayi Bhavas and Vyavichari Bhavas is that the impressions left by a secondary Sthayi Bhava are permanent, and the impressions of the Vyavichari Bhavas are not. Now again, if we think of this in terms of our ordinary relationships, so if you have a friend that you laugh with a lot, or you have a sense of wonder with a lot, or a sense of chivalry with a lot, it's a lasting impression that has some effect on your primary relationship. I mean, we can think in Krishna Lila of, say, Madhu Mangala. Madhu Mangala has often this relationship of humor. And it has a lasting effect on his relationship of friendship with Krishna. It's very dominant in his relationship with Krishna. Okay, so we're going to take 5 minutes, just 5 minutes. Everybody, please write your understanding of what is a secondary Sthayi Bhava. So all the things that we've just discussed. Okay? So 5 minutes starting now. Okay.
Recording in progress.
So we're going to go into breakout groups. And in the great breakout groups, you're going to come up with one paragraph. So from everybody's individual stuff, from everyone's individual writing in your group, I'll write this in the chat. Come up with one conglomerate. How do you spell that? Conglomerate paragraph. And then decide on who's going to present that. Okay. spell conglomerate. And it tells me I spelled it wrong, but it doesn't tell me how to spell it. Okay, maybe it's an N. Yes, there you go, thank you. It's an N. All right. So you're going to come up with one paragraph from everybody. Everyone, you bring your writing to the group. The group is going to come out with one combined paragraph taking from everybody's thing, and then you come up with a presenter, and we'll come back after 10 minutes, and then we'll have each group will give a presentation of their paragraph explaining Steinbob. Okay, so we can go into the breakout groups now. All right.
Recording stopped.
Well, we want recording started, not
recording. Recording in progress.
There we go. Okay, so now we're going to have each group give a presentation, and you're just going to have 2 to 3 minutes for your presentation. So I'm going to stop the screen sharing here. And why don't we start with whoever was in the first group, whoever was in group one. So who did you pick as your presenter? Or if you don't know the number of the groups, we'll just pick a person.
We had Kasturi Mataji,
okay.
Our group leader.
Okay, so please give your presentation.
Hare Krishna. So we understand Steinbobs are the emotional state that subdues the primary Steinbob. And these secondary Steinbobs are nourished and they push us primary Steinbobs into the background. And they also have a lasting effect on the primary relationships. And they are although there are six of them which Krishna is the direct cause, but the seventh, the disgust or ghastliness, we are disgusted with the obstacles of separation that creates between us and Krishna, but not it itself. Krishna is not the cause for that. And the secondary sthaibhav spreads and becomes like a rati. That's all we came up.
Excellent. Thank you. Dave. All right, from group two. Who's the presenter from group two?
I think ours was group two.
Okay.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Well, the summary that we came up with was that secondary sthaibhavas are emotions dependent on a priori existence of the primary rati, and they are always present in contrast to temporary presence of secondary bhavas. They can be nourished by the bhava, anubhava, sattva bhava, or the vichara bhava. They are temporarily manifested, subduing the primary bhava for some time, but has a lasting impression. They result in ruchi. And they are particular, they exist in a particular devotee and in a particular pastime. And it was also felt that just like earth contains other elements like fire, air, water, etc. So Madhurya Ras also contains all of the Hindu bhavas also. Thank you.
That was wonderful. All right, from group three.
I think we were in the group three, okay. And they wanted me to present, but my internet connection is very unstable, so I hope it will work. So what we came up is that the secondary Sai Bhavas appear when this, they depend on the existence of the primary Sai Bhavas, and when these seven emotions listed before, when they take precedence in the relationship over Sai Bhava, and Sai Bhava, primary Sai Bhava goes in the background and becomes nourishing for that seven emotions, then they can be called secondary Sai Bhavas. And the difference between them and Vyabhichari Bhavas is that Vyabhichari Bhavas do not leave lasting impressions on the relationship, while the secondary Sai Bhavas do. So if there is no primary Sai Bhava, there is no secondary Sai Bhava, there is only emotion. That is in the case of the enemies of Krishna. But that's what we can.
Excellent, excellent. Thank you, thank you. And group four? The presenter for group four, please.
Hare Krishna. I'm not sure if our group was group number four, but I was typing and I can read what I what I have collected from what the Prabhus were presenting.
Okay.
So secondary Sthayi Bhava is never independent from primary Sthayi Bhava. It is a variety of emotional state nourished by primary Sthayi Bhava and overtaking it temporary, acting as a primary Sthayi Bhava by lasting impressions, but the secondary bhava is never independent of the primary bhava, which first must nourish the secondary bhava and then recede to allow the secondary bhava to temporarily become prominent. And non-devotees therefore cannot experience it truly. And then secondary Sthayi Bhavas are seven in number, but they are not transcendental in themselves because they don't have the inherent connection to transcendental affection to Krishna.
Ooh, that was very profound.
They are not independent, but they can become transcendental when they become connected. And therefore, they can be connected with the direct affection for Krishna, and in that way they nourish the primary Sthayi Bhavas.
Very nice. Very nice.
Thank
that,
you.
That was very profound. I think we just had four groups, yeah? I think so. Did we miss anybody? Okay, we have a couple minutes if anybody has a question before we take a break. Kasturika?
I just have a question. I wanted to understand if Vyabhichari Bhavas can be experienced by devotees who are not in Sthayi Bhava. Like, I was thinking on an example. If, say, someone is describing me Kalya pastime, I may be under horror or lamentation, but it's for a moment. But Mother Yashoda is going through the same emotion. But because she is in Sthayi Bhava with Krishna, her emotion is everlasting. Is it like that?
Well, you remember that for the categories we talked about above. So for someone who hasn't yet developed a rati, they can have an abhas of a sattvic above and an abhas of a vyabhichari above. They can have a semblance of it, a hint of it. So a practicing devotee whose Sthayi Bhava hasn't awakened, they can certainly experience these things, but they're experiencing them in a semblance form to some degree. Once the Sthayi Bhava has awakened, then they can actually experience these things, although the degree of them may be less. As we were studying before, you know, as the strength of the Sthayi Bhava increases in a sadhaka, so the strength of all these other things also increase. But, you know, even somebody just, you know, as we were studying before, even someone just visiting a holy place or just coming to a devotional festival, they can experience some abhas of some of these, of the Vyavichari bhavs, the Sattvika bhavs, and so forth. And that's quite astonishing. You know, and it's, that's not a minor thing. So even somebody who's very new to spiritual life, when they experience some shadow or reflection or a semblance of these things, it's quite astonishing. There are some of the abhasas that are not devotional. You know, there are some semblances like of the act of the actor or the demon. So those semblances are not, they're not at all spiritual. But then there are some semblances, they are spiritual. They're just, because we don't have the sthaibhav awakened and developed, they're just a semblance. But as I say, they can be very powerful. They can, you know, wow, what was that? And a person is like, that's amazing. What is this Krishna consciousness? Wow, I want to do more of this Krishna consciousness. Yeah. Is that all right? Yes, Mahalakshmi?
Yes. How to describe Jatila's bhava and emotions?
We'll get there. We'll get there in the second half of the class.
Okay.
Anything else? Good question. Yes, Ratna.
Hare Krishna,
Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Kamut means, what is exactly Rati? Rati is only Sthai Bhava.
Correct.
Sthai Bhava.
Rati and Sthai Bhava, Rupa is using synonymously.
So before that, the stage is still Vyabhachari Bhava, it is not Rati, Mataji.
I'm sorry?
Still in the Vyabhachari Bhava, it's not Rati. Only in
Sthai
Bhava, Rati
Devanas? Rupa Goswami is using the term Rati as a synonym for a Sthai Bhava.
Synonym for Sthai Bhava, okay.
That's the way Rupa is using it here. Rati is also, you know, a person. She's the wife of Cupid. She's the wife of Prajumna. And Rati, in a general way, can mean any kind of love. I mean, it has different... It's going to have different uses in different places. But here... In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami is using the term Rati as a synonym for Sthai Bhav. That doesn't mean every time you see the word Rati, it means Sthai Bhav. That would not be correct. But in this context, it's being used in that way. I'm glad that you clarified this. Yeah, Advaita Krishna Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Mataji. Just wondering about the very... acute nature of Krishna's pastime, like killing, chastising Kaliya, or lifting the Govardhan hill, or swallowing the forest fire in themselves, these kind of activities. What does it do to someone, say for example, a bystander who's not a devotee? So how does that impact on the person? Does it in itself can create a kind of sthayi bhava, which will last, which will never forget? Or is it only for those who have already that established sthayi bhava? I'm talking about from the angle of the very, astonishing pastimes of Krishna, when we think about it.
Okay, let me see if I still have this open. Looks like I don't. Let's see if I can find it quickly. Yes. Okay, so there's a very, 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 very short, you couldn't even call it, it's an essay, really. It's a short essay written by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur called Sri Sri Raghavartma Chandrika. And here, again, I'm going to... see if I can find this. It is, again, quite short. It's funny that I was reading this again yesterday and I realized that I must have read it a long time ago because I'd been preaching these things and I was like, yes, this is my... he was saying, I don't know if I can find it quickly, but he was saying that in Krishna's pastimes is Bhoomalila, when Krishna appears in the material world. There are also karmis there. Let's see if I can find it quickly. Yes. Okay, he says, practicing devotees, karmis, and perfected devotees can all be seen to enter into the materially manifest Sri Vrindavan Dham. It is experienced as both Sadaka Bhumi and Shridha Bhumi. So we have, according to Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, and we can see if we examine the Leelas, there's practicing devotees, we know there's sadhakas who enter into Krishna's Bhoomalila. There's karmis that enter into Krishna's Bhoomalila. We know that. We know there's even out-and-out demons that enter into Krishna's Bhoomalila. And there's perfected devotees. So certainly it happens that some of those persons have their Stai Bhav awakened in the course of entering into Krishna's Bhoomalila. I mean, an example of this, of course, we've discussed previously in terms of Kripa City, were the wives of the brahmanas.
Yeah, I was thinking same. Yeah,
yeah, their Stai Bhav, they had a Stai Bhav of conjugal, that became awakened in the Bhoomalila. It had not been awakened previously. I think it's in Ujjwalamila Mani, where Rupa Goswami says how some of the women who were married to Kurus, to the other persons, like in Mathura and Dwarka, when they saw Krishna, they became attracted. And they thought, I'd like to be married to Krishna. So that can awaken in Krishna's Bhoomalila, certainly. Yes, that's one of the functions of Krishna coming to the material world. So one of the functions is to pick up the sadhakas. And it's fascinating in this little essay of Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, he says something, and again, I've been saying this for years, and I was thinking I must have read this years ago, because I'd forgotten exactly, you know, I would use other evidences, where, you know, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, how can the Raganuga sadhaka attain to full prema? And one way he gives is by joining Krishna's leelas. And by joining Krishna's leelas, the person who already has some awakening of Stai Bhav, but it's not ripened, will have that ripen in the Bhoomalila. So in the Bhoomalila, someone who has already had a beginning awakening of the Stai Bhav, but it's not ripe, they're still a sadhaka, they can come to their sadhya. And someone who hasn't had it awakened at all, by experiencing Krishna's Bhoomalila, it can become manifest. So yes, definitely.
Okay. It's like a training school.
Yes, that is exactly what it is. I was just hearing a class by Prabhupada this morning where he was saying exactly that. He was saying what we're doing now in our society of devotees is like a training school, and the same when we enter into the Bhoomalila, it's a further training school. Yes. Okay, so
thank you so much.
Oh, I'm so glad you asked that question. Thank you. This is such a wonderful sangha of Vaishnavas, Vaishnavis. I feel so blessed and so honored to be in your association. So we're going to take now a 10-minute break. So again, as I say every time, please take a real break. Put down your phone, put down your computer, get up, stretch, walk around, drink some water, and we'll see you again in 10 minutes. Hare Krishna. Okay.
Recording in progress.
So now we're going to look individually at each of the secondary Stai Bhavs. Okay, so we're going to do these one at a time. So, hasyarati, humor, or laughter. And I really like how Rupa Goswami describes what he means by a particular Sai Bhav. So, what we mean is a cheerfulness of the heart. So, again, you're not necessarily always laughing, although later Rupa Goswami will give... Not in this section. in the section that deals with the secondary sthi bhavas, the northern ocean. As I say, he devotes a whole ocean of the Bhakti-rasamrita Sindhu to this topic, which he does not do with the Vyavichari bhavas. Vyavichari bhavas, he just does a wave of an ocean. So there he describes all different kinds of laughter. But here it's not just laughing. It's this sense of cheerfulness of the heart. So we could call it joy. Oh. And what are the causes? I like this also. Irregularity of speech, dress, or actions. And if we think of, you know, what is humor? What is comedy? What is it that makes us laugh in this world? Something that's irregular, something that's unexpected, some twist, something out of the ordinary. And here he gives us the symptoms: opening of the eyes fully, quivering of the nose, lips, and cheeks. Again, when he discusses this sthi bhava more deeply in the Northern Ocean, he gives many more descriptions. And as we've done in previous presentations where I've pulled stuff from the Western and Northern Ocean, and so there are specific anubhavs and sattvikabhavs that are associated with each of these secondary sthi bhavas. So here's our example. And for the slide, I had to summarize it. I try to avoid putting huge amount of text in a slide. So here, Krishna was saying, "I've not stolen even a drop of yogurt from your pot, but still your friend Radharani is very shamelessly smelling the fragrance of my mouth. Kindly forbid her." And this made all the gopis laugh. So as we're going through these, I'd like you to, we're going to have a discussion on these. So I'd like you to take some note about which of these sthi bhavas you particularly find interesting, and perhaps other stories that involves this sthi bhava. So this sthi bhava of laughter and is prevalent throughout descriptions of Krishna's pastimes. I'm thinking of Vrindavan, but also in Dwarka. I mean, what I'm thinking of in Dwarka is where the messenger of Pandraka comes and says, you know, Pandraka is actually Vasudev, and, you know, Krishna's a false Vasudev, I'm the real one, and Krishna should give up his name and his weapons, and everybody is just laughing and laughing and laughing. And Krishna is enjoying this laughing. So, of course, this Hasa is, you could say, one of the epitomes of enjoyment. We feel a cheerfulness of heart, where we're laughing, we have humor, and so forth. And there's so many pastimes in relation to that. All right, now we come to Vishmaya, which can also be called Adbhuta, astonishment or wonder. So the description here is where the mind is asking, what could this be? Wow! This is the wow one. Whoa! Wow! Now here is seeing something unusual. When I put together for Bhakti Shastri the section from chapter 10 of the Bhagavad Gita, of where Krishna says of the splendid, I am the splendor, and I was thinking, how do I show splendor? So I found a picture, I think, of northern lights in a volcano at the same time. So a volcano erupting, this incredible display of the northern lights. The only time I personally seen the northern lights was from an airplane. I mean, that was pretty far out, but it would be a really far out thing to see. So that's a sense of wonder. You know, in this world, we climb to the top of the mountain, the view you get, or the top of a tall building. Seeing something like the northern light, seeing some incredible animal, doing something or some person doing some amazing feat, acrobatic feat, sports feat, or some amazing philosopher, mathematician, poet, singer, anyone is doing something that's like, wow, right? We have that emoticon for our chats and etc. The wow. And you can see when I say wow, my eyes widen, saying things like very good, very good. Standing of the hairs on end is one of the sattvika bhavas. So again, in the Northern Ocean, Rupa Goswami is going to give further anubhavs and sattvika bhavas associated with this wonder. Yeah, as soon as I say wonder, my eyes immediately open. And the example that Rupa Goswami gives in this section, this is just part of a wave. So in the Eastern Ocean, the sthayi bhavas are just wave 5 of the ocean. And this is part of wave 5. So he's just, for each one here, he's just giving one example. So here he's giving the example of Lord Brahma. So this is the story, of course, where Lord Brahma, and he uses this example a lot, I've noticed that Rupa Goswami favors, and the reason I noticed that is, I have a limited number of pictures of those particular pastimes. I'm trying to have a variety of which picture that I use. So Lord Brahma had stolen the boys and the calves, and then when he comes back, he finds that they're all there. All the same boys and calves that he stole are all there. This is one of my favorite leelas. When I was in college and I first read Krishna book, I particularly liked this leela. And he comes back and he sees the cowherd boys and the calves are all still there. And he's like, what's going on? And then they show that they're not cowherd boys and calves. They're actually Vishnu. And each boy and each calf turned into Vishnu. And then Lord Brahma saw that each Vishnu was being worshipped by all living entities, including many Brahmas from all different universes. I mean, in this painting they show each Brahma as having 4 heads. But in different universes, some Brahmas have up to 10,000 heads. So he saw this. He saw each Lord Vishnu was being worshipped by innumerable living entities, and Lord Brahma was, wow, wow. So this is wonder, like, whoa. I mean, I can think of this with seeing Krishna dancing on the hoods of Kaliya, 1,000 hoods, and Krishna's dancing on the main 101 hoods, and the snake is slippery, it's in the water, and he's breathing fire. And Krishna's jumping from one hood to the other and subduing one hood at a time. And the red of Krishna's feet, the soles of Krishna's feet, is defeating the red jewels on Kaliya's hood. So that would be another, like, whoa. Or any time that the coward boys are going, well done, very good, is another example of this. Vishmaya or Adbhuta. Of course, we can also think of this with other pastimes, other incarnations. We say Adbhuta Shringam for Nisingadev's nails. You can be making some notes right now of some other pastimes where this astonishment or wonder manifests. Again, please make some notes as we're doing this. Okay, Utsaha. Now, what's nice about Utsaha is Utsaha literally means enthusiasm, right? You all remember from Nectar of Instruction. But here, enthusiasm specifically means, Prabhupada translates it specifically as chivalry. So chivalry is this sense of sportsmanship. It's a feeling, isn't it? Whenever we play a game with anybody, if it's a friendly game, if it's not a malicious game. We're playing the other day, Some devotees invited me to play a game of Scrabble with them. I'm not particularly a game player kind of person. I was mostly just doing that to make them happy. But you know, this sense, and I lost because I didn't have much of a sense of chivalry. But when you have a feeling of chivalry, you really want to win, right? It's friendly. Like I was saying last night, my grandson-in-law and his younger brother were fighting physically. It was friendly. It was definitely friendly. But boy, each of them wanted to win. It was quite interesting. You know, so there's this sense of friendliness, but you want to win. So this is battle. So the chivalry is shown when there's a battle. You're actually fighting. You're fighting with words, or you're fighting physically. It's friendly, but you still want to win. Now, later in the Northern Ocean, Rupa Goswami will explain that this Utsaha has another three divisions. Another is charity. And this is specifically giving in charity to Krishna. So when someone is giving charity to Krishna, and he gives something pretty far out examples in the Northern Ocean of someone who is willing to give half his body to a disguised Krishna. And this charity to Krishna generally means when Krishna is in a disguised form. But you can see it has a mood. There's some parentalish mood there. You know, when you give in charity, you're the benefactor. You're helping someone. So this is a sense of chivalry. We think of Utsaha as like a sense of nobility. There's some sense of what we would call nobility in here. The noble battle, the noble charity. You know, a king-type mood. Compassion, having compassion towards Krishna. Again, from a position of, I'm helping Krishna. I have compassion towards him. Let me help him. And a sense of dharma. This is a fascinating aspect of chivalry, of this Utsaha. When one wants to be dharmic to please Krishna. So not that a person wants to be dharmic for their own reputation, as in Rajagun. Or they want to be dharmic so they can be in harmony and in peace, like Sattvagun. Because those are me-centered. I want to be in harmony so I'll feel that I'm a noble person. Or I want to be in harmony. Dharma means reality, the essence of things. Or I want to be in harmony so I can feel very balanced. So this is, I want to follow Dharma to make Krishna happy. I want Krishna to be pleased with me by my following of Dharma. Yes. Of course, Yudhisthira also did the opposite one time when he wanted to follow Dharma for his own ego rather than for Krishna. So yes, when Yudhisthira wanted to perform the Rajasuya, that's an example of this Utsaha. He said, I want to do the Rajasuya so that people will praise Krishna. When he didn't want to lie on the battlefield, that was wanting to follow Dharma, not to please Krishna. So symptoms are impulsiveness, not looking back in time, impatience and eagerness. Yes, I'm going to fight. Yes, I'm going to give this. Yes, I'm going to help. Yes, I'm going to be, you know, just... So this is the transcendental archetype from which the perversion of Rajagun comes. The Rajagun in this world, it's a reflection of this mood in transcendental love. And an example is Sudama roaring and tightening his belt to fight with Krishna. So the cowherd boys have a lot of this chivalrous mood with Krishna and with each other. All right, the shoka, lamentation or compassion. And in next week's class, Rupa is going to write at length, and Srila Prabhupada talks about nectar devotion at length, about how this is also blissful. So we're not going to discuss that. Today we'll discuss that. Next week. I'll just simply mention that this is one of the three secondary sthaibhavs that Rupa particularly talks about, how somebody might say, is that ecstatic? So the description here is intense pain in the heart. Intense pain in the heart. So again, that sounds like the opposite of cheerfulness of the heart. How can sadness be happy? Of course, I always say that, you know, why do people watch sad movies? Read sad books for enjoyment. So the causes are separation from a dear one with thoughts that the beloved has perished. So this is the cause, and the symptoms are wailing, falling on the ground, heavy breathing, drying of the mouth, confusion. The example given here is Trinavarta. So, you know, where is Krishna? There's this huge windstorm. They didn't know that Trinavarta had carried Krishna up. You know, Mother Yasoda had put Krishna down because he felt heavy. And then there's this storm, and Krishna's just gone. He's just disappeared. They don't know where he is. Maybe he's dead. So there was this intense lamentation, which can also, again, be a sense of compassion. And there's a difference between this compassion and the compassion in chivalry. That is discussed in the Northern Ocean, and we will not be getting into it. But this is this great lamentation. Where is Krishna? Right? The lamentation of separation. Another example that Rupa Goswami gives is when Kali was binding up Krishna. I didn't pick a binding picture for here. I picked a dancing picture. But Mother Yasoda is saying, I must be very hard-hearted because I'm living. How is it that when Krishna was bound by Kaliya, why didn't I die? And she's lamenting. She's lamenting, how could I be such a hard-hearted mother? How could I be such a bad mother? Anger. This is a flaming up of the heart. So there's two causes. One is Krishna, and one is an enemy of Krishna. So in one situation, Krishna is the one who stimulates your anger. Your anger at Krishna. You're angry at Krishna. And another is you're angry at someone who's trying to hurt Krishna. And the symptoms are rough behavior, frowning, and reddening of the eyes. So here we're going to talk about Jatila. He gives the example of Jatila. We had some questions about this. So Rupa Goswami's example is when Jatila, the mother of Abhimanyu, saw Krishna wearing a necklace, she could understand that this ornament had been given to him by Radharani. Perhaps it was something that she knew Radharani had, and she became very angry. So this is ecstatic love because her actions are for Krishna's pleasure. And a few of you asked about Jatila. So I had the experience many years ago at a Govardhan retreat where we were in a drama. If you want to see the video of the drama, it's on my daughter Champaka Lata's YouTube channel. And it's the story of where Jatila and Kutila prevent Radharani from cooking for Krishna. So Radharani is apparently bitten by a snake. It's really the metaphorical snake. She's overcome by separation. But her friends tell Jatila that Radharani's been bitten by a snake and she's going to die. And Jatila goes to get a doctor. And the doctor she gets is Krishna in disguise. Krishna's disguised as a female doctor who comes to Jatila's house and cures Srimati Radharani. At which point, Jatila is very happy. And she still doesn't know that this female doctor is actually Krishna. And so she asks the doctor to spend the night with Radharani in a flower bed on the rooftop. So I was playing Jatila in that drama. I was asked to play Jatila in that drama. And so I gained some understanding of Jatila. So Jatila is in ecstasy, and she's actually in ecstasy at the meeting of Radha and Krishna. She doesn't know it. She doesn't know that that's the source of her ecstasy. She doesn't, in Yoga Maya, she doesn't really understand that. Her external feeling is she's trying to keep Radha and Krishna separated. That's her. And she gets very angry at Krishna. So she loves Radharani very, very much. She's very attached to Srimati Radharani. She has deep love for Srimati Radharani. And her mood is that she wants to save Radharani by keeping her away from that Krishna. But actually, when she facilitates the union of Radha and Krishna, which she does over and over again, in this story she actually facilitates their union, she feels great ecstasy, although she doesn't really understand it. I mean, another example is when her son Abhimanyu is carrying the box that Krishna is in. He's carrying the box to Radharani, and he's feeling great ecstasy carrying this box with Krishna in it and facilitating the meeting of Radha Krishna, though because of Yogamaya, he doesn't understand it like that. So these so-called antagonists are adding flavor, and they're enjoying acting as antagonists. Because it pleases Krishna to have antagonists. It pleases Krishna that there's conflict. Without conflict, there's no story. There's actually no rasa without some sort of conflict, some sort of difficulty. So they're providing that, and they're enjoying that. They're enjoying providing the conflict. Okay, here is an example of anger where the stimulation is an enemy of Krishna. So here's Balaram, who became very angry at the fire. This example that Rupa Goswami gives, that when the blazing forest fire, who was actually the brother of Kamsa, surrounded Krishna. The brother of Kamsa doesn't mean literally that he was born from the same mother and father. It means that he was an associate. Abhimanyu can be explained like that. Some of the acharyas, I'm just seeing in the chat, some of the acharyas explain like that. But we can also say that he's an antagonist. So there's many instances, of course, where the devotee is experiencing anger at Krishna's enemy, at somebody. Even the gopis are getting angry at Jatila. So Jatila's getting angry at Krishna, the gopis are getting angry at Jatila. Yes, exactly, Mahalakshmi. Balaram was feeling anger at the fire, and Jatila was feeling angry at Krishna. Yes. Exactly. You got it. Okay. Baya, dread or fear. So this is the heart manifesting unsteadiness, extreme unsteadiness. And the causes can be one commits an offense. One commits offense, so one's very scared. Krishna will be angry. The devotees will be angry. Or seeing fearful creatures. Somebody gets very afraid that there's a demon. So again, the stimulus is Krishna, and the stimulus can be the enemy. So committing an offense, the stimulus is Krishna. If they're seeing fearful creatures, the stimulus is an enemy of Krishna. The symptoms, trying to hide, drying up of the heart, running away, and being confused. So here we have an example where the cause is an offense, and the stimulus is Krishna. So Krishna asked Akura for the Simantaka jewel. Right? He said, where is the Simantaka jewel? It was in the assembly, and it was in a friendly way. And Akura was hiding the jewel in his clothing. So he became very scared. Krishna's going to know I'm hiding this jewel in my clothing. What's going to happen to me? Okay, and another example where the stimulus is Krishna. My dear Lord, when we are away from you, we become anxious to see you. And this is I've shortened it. But when we do see you, there comes the fear of separation. Both when we see you and when we do not see you, we are subjected to different types of tribulation. So this is a fear of separation. So the devotee is afraid of separation even when they're with Krishna. And then fear when, example with an enemy. So we have two examples of fear when the stimulation is Krishna. Here's an example of fear when the stimulation is an enemy. So when Vrishasura, also called Aristasura, when, like a storm cloud, he roared in a frightening manner at the entrance of Gokula, Yasoda, thinking of the protection of her son, began to tremble. So she becomes very scared that this horrible demon is going to hurt her son. Okay, Jugupsa, ghastliness or disgust. This is a restriction of the heart. The causes are experiencing disgusting things. The symptoms are spitting, curling the lips, and uttering contemptuous words. And then we have this example, which Srila Prabhupada often gives in other contexts. Jamunacharya, since who had been a king, and kings in those days had many women. He says, since I have begun to enjoy these transcendental exchanges of love, which are always newer and newer, whenever I remember the pleasure of past sex life, my lips curl, and I wish to spit on the idea. One thing that should always be emphasized in this regard is that this is not a material aversion. Material aversion and material attraction are two sides of the same coin. And the devotees, actually, I was just reading this in the fourth canto in relation to King Malayadwaj, how he gave up all feelings of attachment or aversion, priya-priya, what's pleasing and what's not pleasing. So this attachment and aversion, this bhoga-tyaga, all materialistic people go through bhoga-tyaga. We have a guest staying at the temple here. And he is initiated in some other... He actually has a lady guru, but it's a different... it's not even a Vaishnava Sampradaya, some other Vedic thing. And he has a girlfriend who's... he's white, he's from Britain. And his girlfriend's a white American lady. And she's also kind of a Hindu, but she's more into Krishna. So she told him more about Krishna consciousness. Anyway, the reason he's here is he had a fight with his girlfriend, and his girlfriend said, "Get out! I don't want to see you again. Get out of here." He said it was very, he said it wasn't physically violent, but it was a very violent thing. "Get out of here. Go away." So he thought, "Well, let me take shelter in an ashram somewhere." So he came here. He's been here maybe a week. So he's a professional landscaper, and we're engaging him in fixing up an area of the property. So he just told me yesterday, he said, I think I'm leaving on Sunday. Today's Thursday. He said this yesterday. I said, "Wow, that's not enough time. You're not going to be able to finish what you're doing." And he said, "Well, I have to save my relationship." I said, "What's going on?" And he said, "Well, my girlfriend is now saying, 'Why did you go so far away? Why did you leave me? Why did you abandon me? Don't you love me?'" And so this is, you know, in ordinary life, it's like that. "Get out of here. Go away. I never want to see you again." And then the person leaves. "Don't you love me? Why did you leave?" So there's this, Prabhupada tells that story, how Gandhi threw his wife out of the house and then he invited her back in. So in materialistic life, we go through this attachment and aversion. So this is not aversion. It's not what it is, which is simply another side of attachment. And it's not that the devotees are disgusted by the biological act of sex. They're not disgusted by the, I mean, the whole material body is disgusting. The biological act of eating is also disgusting on one level. I mean, all of our biological acts, blowing our nose and sleeping, I mean, they all have a disgusting aspect to them. But it's not like that. What is disgusting to the devotee is lust. What's disgusting to the devotee is exploitation and lust. Pure devotees they're able to be married and produce children. And Krishna says, "I am that sex." And Prabhupada said, "You can find Krishna in righteous sex." So that's what's going on here is lust. So Jamunacharya, as a king, he had so many women that he saw as objects. that he saw as just objects for his lust. And this is now disgusting him. He's feeling this ghastliness at it. So as we progress in Krishna consciousness, we also feel like this. As we become more and more attached to Krishna, we feel a revulsion towards selfishness. We feel a revulsion towards exploitation. We have to, in order to get rid of those anartas. We just feel, ugh, this envy, this pride, this lust, this greed. It's disgusting. And it's disgusting because it's an impediment to our Krishna consciousness. This is also not, you know, self-hatred and low self-esteem in an ordinary sense. The devotee relishes and rejoices in the self. So this is an ecstasy. And again, Rupa Goswami, next week we'll talk about how sadness and ghastliness and fear are all actually ecstatic. But it's really important to mention with ghastliness. It's not a material aversion. It's not a tamagun self-hatred. It's a kind of ecstasy. It's ecstatic joy. And again, this is a secondary sthaibhav that becomes the prominent feature in the heart. That, you know, oh, Krishna is my master. How horrible my previous lust, how horrible my previous exploitation. Yeah. All right, so to summarize, I picked up the sense of how Rupa Goswami describes the internal feeling, the definition of these, and I thought that this was one of the most wonderful aspects of this section. So laughter is a cheerfulness of the heart. Wonder is a, what could this be? It's funny how my eyes immediately open when I say that. Chivalry is firm and immediate attachment to battle, charity, compassion, and dharma. Lamentation is immense pain in the heart. Anger is a flaming up of the heart. Fear is extreme unsteadiness of the heart. And ghastliness is a restriction of the heart. How interesting. Ghastliness, that can be an ecstatic love. And again, next week, Arupa will look at particularly lamentation, fear, and ghastliness as how they can be ecstatic. All right, so we're going to go in a breakout group. And in this breakout group, we're going to discuss, and let me write this in the chat. Mahalakshmi always asked me to write this in the chat. So I will do this. Please pick one. Each person should just pick one. We don't have time for more than that. Which secondary sthaibhava you find most interesting, and perhaps other examples in the Shastra of that secondary sthaibhava. So this is what we'll be doing for 10 minutes in a group. Each person can bring up one. Okay, so we can go into a breakout group here.
Progress.
All right, I hope you found that enlivening. So I'd like us to take 2 minutes to write our reflection, which I want you to do with the... I don't always have time for that in the class. And then we can have just one or two questions. So please take 2 minutes to write your reflection on this section. Okay, if you want to write more, you can write
Recording
more.
Recording in progress.
If you want to write more, you can write more after the class. We have just time for maybe one or two questions before we end today. If anybody has a question. Yes, Samajoji Krishna Prabhu.
Mataji, can you describe what Rati, you know, when the lady offers fruit, she's a fruit vendor. And she comes to Krishna as a baby, and Krishna then holds out a small hands, you know, and she says, let me fill up your hands, you know, with this fruit. And then all of a sudden, after accepting the fruits, then Krishna obviously changes it into jewels and all this. Can you explain how the descriptions of different rakshasas are there. Because, you know, obviously she wants to give a gift to Krishna.
Yes. Yes.
And he hasn't got anything to barter with, so it's
no, you, I mean, I just, I don't know any authoritative pramana on this, but looking at it just logically, so she's giving charity to Krishna, so that's some aspect of the chivalrous rasa. I'm sure when she looked at the jewels, there was some wonder.
Yes.
Right? Initially, there's, you know, she's doing business. But there may be some mood of being a servant, of helping. And one can certainly guess that she's an adult, she's seen little Krishna as a baby, that there's also some parental there as well. But we had this, the aspect of chivalrous that's not fighting, but the aspect of chivalrous that's giving in charity.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, there was also some laughter there.
Yes.
You know, that Krishna is he grabs this handful of grains, and it's, I mean, I'm thinking some of these may be vyavichari bhavs. Because, you know, we have the example of the vyavichari bhavs, that there can be sometimes, you know, conflicting emotions from different places that come at once, and then there can also be, you know, conflicting emotions from different places, conflicting emotions from the same place, one emotion supplementing the other. So some emotion of serving, and then some emotion of laughter, and then some emotion of compassion, and some emotion of wonder, and the, you know, this seems to me very much a description of a vyabhichari bhavs, that they're, how we describe, they would come one after another and supplant each other.
Thanks.
She never spent those jewels. You know, the acharyas said that she was just so overwhelmed by the whole thing, and she entered into full prema, and she gave up her body and just...
Hare Krishna.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's not that she was like, oh, wow, you know, now I've won the lottery, and she went out and built a palace, or...
Hare Krishna.
All right. Thank you. Anybody else? Okay, so thank you very much. Oh, we have one more?
Yes, no, I find the secondary rasas dependent on the primary rasas. Are there spices in the menu?
That's a very good way to. It's a very good analogy. Very good analogy. I like that. Yes. That the primary is like the vegetables and the fruit and the grain, and the secondary, like, and sometimes the spice becomes the main thing. Isn't it? My granddaughter made quesadillas last night, and she used fresh basil and fresh parsley from her garden.
Mm-hmm.
So her brother-in-law, who's, as I said, was there, he's like, wow, that's basil, isn't it? So the taste of the basil overwhelmed the taste of the peppers and the tomatoes and the cheese and et cetera.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like that. Yeah, we have fresh...
Like the subtle...
Yeah.
The subtle camphor and the sweet rice.
Yes, yes. So we have fresh mint here. And, I made some an avocado salad with the fresh herbs, the mint and the sage and the basil and the rosemary, and you're eating it, and sometimes it's like, whoa, mint! So instead of really tasting the avocado and the tomato, and, you know, you the herbs and the spices become the dominant. Yes, very nice. Okay, so we will end now, speaking about prasadam. As I always say, this is Thursday, and if I don't quickly get Chaitanya's prasadam, there won't be any left, because everybody knows it's Thursday. Everybody is making sure that they are there. So we will see you next week, and next week we'll be finishing Sai Bhav. The week after that, we'll do a full review of the whole Southern Ocean. So the last week will be a full review, going through everything in a brief form. And next week we're going to be discussing not the particular Saibabs, but how they work together and the relationship, and it's just really wonderful, fascinating stuff. So thank you again for this opportunity. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Srila Rupa Goswami Ki Jai.
Recording stopped.